Hear now the background of the passage. Last week I talked about the terrible tragedy that happened to Judah when Jerusalem fell into the hands of the Babylonians in the year 586 before Christ. Who's not been in church maybe last week, I can quickly just summarize it. In the year 586, something very, very tragic and devastating happened to the people of Judah. The Babylonians came into the capital, Jerusalem. They broke down the whole city. They even broke down the temple. They destroyed everything. They killed all the people. Those who could not get away, they were killed. Women, children, innocent people died. And those who survived were captives. They were led into captivity to Babylon, where they stayed until the year 538, when they returned again to their country. The prophecy of Jeremiah tells us about what happened before this tragedy happened. Jeremiah was a prophet who told the people that this tragedy is going to happen. He told his people to repent in time. But of course, they didn't listen. Jeremiah came originally from Anatoth. He was the son of Hilkiah. And he was still very young when he was called as a prophet. And that was a bit to his disadvantage. Because according to the Jewish custom, you only have authority to speak in public when you're at least 30 years of age. Jeremiah wasn't 30. He was very young. And that's why he was so reluctant to be called as a prophet. He said to the Lord, "I cannot do this. Call someone else. But I cannot stand up to all these kings. I cannot tell them this is what you want me to say." But then Jeremiah did. And soon he fell out with his whole family. He himself wrestled with the Lord God. He also wrestled with the kings. And some kings didn't listen to him. Others imprisoned him. They even tried to kill him. Jeremiah was a prophet who stood up and said, "So says the Lord God, go on your knees in time. Be obedient to me. Listen to me. I'm telling you, you are going to be destroyed." But they didn't listen. And we all know what happened. Chapter 23. Jeremiah is telling the leaders of Judah, the so-called shepherds, that they have not been attending to the people, to the flock of God. Instead of leading them, they led them astray. Instead of helping them to go to the temple of the Lord, they set different examples. And now the prophet is saying to them, "You will be scattered. You'll be scattered to Babylon." And then Jeremiah says, "The Lord will become your shepherd. He will be the one who will faithfully attend to every need. He will look after them. They will become plentiful again. They will return to Judah. And he will provide them a new king. A king from the line of David. A king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. And his name will be the Lord our righteousness." And it's interesting to note in the Hebrew text that there's a bit of a wordplay. Because Zedekiah was the current king of Judah. And his name meant, "My righteousness is the Lord." So Jeremiah is actually insulting his own king. He's telling to his king, "There will be a different king. You will be replaced, Zedekiah. You will not rule forever and ever. I think this king felt very insulted by this prophecy. And I can just think of all the trouble Jeremiah had to bear for saying this. But Jeremiah also said to the people, the Lord is going to replace him with a different king, a different name. Jeremiah is telling them to believe in the future because he is looking into the future. He's coming out of the line of David. David was the icon of what it meant to be a king. The Jews regarded him till this day as the wisest and best king that ever ruled. Although the people of Judah might feel hopeless and lost, God is still in control. He's promising them a new future with a new king that will govern them wisely and just from the line of David. They must never give up hoping. God is still in control. That's the meaning of the passage. Amen. The text verses for the sermon this morning are verses 5 and 6. The days are now coming, says the Lord, when I will make a righteous branch spring from David's line, a king who shall rule wisely, maintaining law and justice in the land. In his days, Judah will be kept safe, and Israel shall live undisturbed. This is the name to be given to him. The Lord is our righteousness. Last week, Tuesday, we all heard the news of William's engagement to Miss Kate Middleton. And yes, all we heard the whole day was this news. No other news could infiltrate this. No matter how hard you tried with your remote control, that's what we heard. And yes, we heard speculation upon speculation when and where they will be getting married. How do we feel about kings and royalty? I must say, I heard a lot this week how people in Scotland feel about royalty in general, and it seems a lot of people can't be bothered. A lot of people feel that the royalty is out of touch with reality. A lot of people struggle to find in them good examples to follow. But, to their credit, we must admit, they are human beings just like you and me. If we can falter, so can they. And it reminded me of what an elder said to me in my first charge in South Africa. He said to me, you know, a horse has four legs and it can fall. And so we have two legs, so can we. And I guess Jeremiah was telling the distressed people in Jerusalem who felt the tensions that God will provide them a new leader in the future. He will allow them to be destroyed, but he cares for them. In his mercy, he will grant them many blessings. He will give them a new king which they can follow. A king that will make all their right boxes tick. Someone like King David. But in the end, God gave us and them so much more. Because let's be realistic for a moment. The characteristics of the promised king as an earthly human being is not really realistic. We all know ourselves. For a human being, a human king, it is not possible to reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. We are fallible. We are utterly corrupt, as Martin Luther once said. And I mean to say, just look and the history. How many kings, how many governments have come and went? How many kingdoms, earthly kingdoms, have fallen over the centuries? It's no wonder God had to intervene himself, just as he said through his prophet Jeremiah. He had to become the shepherd king himself. In Jesus Christ, he was much more than King David could ever be, because David was a human being like you and me. But Jesus is God. Jesus is not our buddy. Jesus is not our friend. He's God. And we must respect him as the shepherd king. He saved us from sin, from death, and even hell. And unlike David, Jesus, the shepherd king, never ever faltered or went back on his own words or promises. Unlike any other earthly king, you do not have to make a special appointment and pay a fortune to visit his palace. Our shepherd king is everywhere. He already paid the price with his blood. Unlike any other earthly king, you do not have to stand in long queues to see him. Actually, you can have a special relationship with him by honoring him, by obeying him. Yes, through faith alone. You do not have to be a super Christian. You do not have to be a very special Christian. You can just be yourself. You just can be yourself and come into his presence just as you are. Because he knows you as you do not know yourself. He sees your heart. He sees your attitude. Yes, you can come into his presence with respect and honor without carrying a mask. And unlike any other earthly king, you do not have to be from royal descent or decorated even to speak to him. You just need faith. You could speak to him anytime you want to. It's just a prayer away. And if you're afraid to pray, if you're afraid to pray on your own, in this congregation, there is ample opportunities for you to pray with other people. You don't have to say a word. You can just go and sit and listen how others is praying. And yes, tomorrow, all the Christians on this island, United Kingdom, is going to pray for the nation. And I pray that they will ask the Lord God to touch this country so that their people can again turn to him. And unlike any earthly king, you do not need an introduction. You do not have to stand there and wait till they speak to you before you can speak. No, you can just speak to him. You can just tell him what is bothering. Yes, you do not have to pick the right time. When you are feeling distressed, when you are worried, when you do not know which way to turn, when your journey is so hard, and when you are so distressed and so hopeless, you can just say, "Help me, Lord." He listens, and he will turn. He will turn your circumstances, not in the way you might think it would go, but he will turn it the best way. And unlike any earthly king, He doesn't appear in the gossip tabloids. We have never to be ashamed for the things He did and say. We can live in the example He lived. Jesus, our Shepherd King, became the example of everything and more what Jeremiah prophesied. And sadly, till this day, the Jews are still waiting for this earthly king who will change all the wrongs to the right. But may we, whenever we come into His presence, just know how grateful we can be. Let us just know our place and respect Him as the Shepherd King. The Shepherd King who loves us just as we are. Amen.